We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troyer, and my repeat guest is Shashati Basu, all the way from, where are you living now?
Still in London, UK. Very far.
Far, far away from where we are here in Canada. I've had her on before, and I really do invite you to go back and listen to her show from before. We talked about, being differently abled, and we talked about intelligence and mental health and a number of other things. But, you know, today she's gone back into journalism, and she took a hiatus there for a while and gone back and found it to be a very different place to be. And in a world where we just don't trust what we hear, the truth is where the knowledge is, where the power is, and the power's in the truth. But how do we know what's the difference? And I think this is paying attention, not just to the headlines, and really looking at the content is important. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. She believes that knowledge is power, whether through books or research. We can all know ourselves a little better. Even though she has faced many adversities, both in mental and physical health, I feel that we never stop growing as people. Totally true. She specializes in women in technology, DEI, gender, social model, disability, race and social politics, British, Chinese, Indian politics, mental health, eating disorders, and nonfiction books. She is the wonderful founder of How to Be. And we're going to be talking about her podcasts and all the things that she does there as well. And this is a woman that is most certainly differently abled. She has a disability that can be quite crippling, but she has decided to partner with it, like we do with our challenges in life. And she knows her red flags, when she can or cannot do, but that has not stopped her from how to be an awesome woman. And really, it's delightful to have you back here again, love.
Thank you so much for having me back, Sarah. It's such a pleasure. Like, honestly, I love talking to you.
Right back at you. And we, you know, we had you booked last year, then you got COVID, and then you got COVID again. We're on top of everything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were a journalist 7 years ago, and you decided to kind of leave it and pursue other avenues. But now you've gone back to it. And what was the desire to go back right now at this time and place in life?
You know, it's weird. Like, journalism sort of taps into that creative part of myself that I really, really just cannot escape. You know, it's a truth seeking sort of serum, essentially. It's weird. Like, even though, of course, I was looking at that in intelligence work that I was doing for 7 years, there's something detached about it because you're not communicating with anyone directly. And I think I really missed that human aspect of it. And also just the writing aspect, of course, really kind of missed just using that sort of arena to kind of spread my fingers and do a little bit of my own typing from time to time. But it's so critical right now to go back into it, because the media industry is suffering like massively. And just, you know, by some fault of its own, some not so much, I think it's a bit of a, we've had a bit of an evolution, and it's just really struggling to sort of keep up at this point. So, you know, I felt like I can try and use the skills that I have from discerning misinformation to try and bring it into that sort of arena so that we can start looking at facts again, and, you know, and also allow that information to pass on to people and be like, there is a space, there is people trying to sort of get the truth out there as well. So I'm very pleased to be back.
I'm pleased to have you back. We need people of your caliber out there. You know, one of the problems, and I say this all the time, is we've become headliners. We read the headlines and we think we know the whole story, and we
Yeah.
don't read the content, we don't look at the context. We just assume judge and jury and persecution immediately from the headlines, and that is part of the media's problem, because they take a pimple and make it into a volcanic eruption, right? And that's sensationalism. But it's also, we've got to be discerning, why am I only buying the sensationalism? Why is that the only thing that attracts me? Why is it that I immediately, when I see a headline, that it is I seem to know the whole story? We've got lazy in reading the whole content and actually understanding the very many levels to that story and what it means to us. And I kind of feel in many ways, although some medias haven't done this, other medias have used it as a puppeteer string in keeping us in sensationalism, keeps us one step away from fear, and fear keeps them in control.
I'm like, I think people forget that it's a symbiotic re relationship. And the thing is that the media works based on what they see as people are reading. Now, the problem is that if people are reading this kind of material, then obviously you're going to produce that kind of material more. So it is a vicious cycle. Now, what's happened is suddenly people are starting to notice, that, for example, oh, actually, I'm kind of fed up of doom and gloom. I've had enough of it, especially the younger generation. They don't consume news the same way as we did, which is we like brands. We are comfortable with certain brands and certain news organizations where we just like, we trust this kind of news organization. So I'll keep going back to them. But younger people don't do that. They consume news differently, very differently. So scrolling, social media. So they're not looking at your brand, they're looking at the person, they're looking at individuals. So no more brand recognition, it's more like reporters. Do they trust a reporter individually? So that's why suddenly reporters, journalists, news presenters are having to create a presence online where they have to kind of be the face of the brand, whereas before it didn't used to be like that. So the whole media industry has shifted considerably just to sort of start understanding this new way of thinking of how are younger people consuming news. And it's really interesting because it's made us having, to be much more creative. We've got to be way more creative as a result. So we have to find different ways of producing that information.
To
So whether it's
engage.
to engage, like short snippets, videos, podcasts, articles, and that's kind of the way the industry has just completely sort of exploded, and then basically now trying to come together again and trying to figure out, okay, what is the right direction? Because in a way, it's good. Younger people have taken control of what they want to see for their own mental health. They want much, much more empowering content. They don't want to see doom and gloom anymore. They've just had enough.
Here to it,
So
yeah.
they've just completely had enough. So the content they're looking at is much more creative. They're looking at sort of much more, and obviously I'm massively generalizing when I'm saying that, but it's just from reports that we've read, because I've been part of the media industry recently, and I've been at a lot of different kind of conferences as a result. And what we've learned is very much that younger people are looking for solutions.
Yes, we've had enough of your problems. Where are the solutions?
We are the solution.
And as I say in business, before anyone's going to buy from you, they have to buy you first. And whereas being a reporter, you used to be neutral. Your opinion didn't really count, is that you were just presenting observation. Now they actually want the engagement of how you feel about the news. They
Absolutely.
want that invitation. Why should I listen to you? We don't want just a story out there that's dehumanized. They
No.
want some passion or compassion or solution behind the
Yes.
story. Okay, this is
Yeah.
what's wrong. Okay, but what
Yeah.
can we do about it?
Exactly. And also they want to see whether they can relate to that reporter. So
Yes.
if, you know, for example, that reporter shares some of your views, then you are going to follow that reporter.
Right.
It's whilst even if the brand has that same identity, it just doesn't have the same kind of human quality
Yeah,
to
exactly. Yeah, and
it.
I
So
think that's what we're
definitely.
hungry for, isn't it? Where we feel that we've kind of been picked up and clumped and all thrown into the same pit, and it's like, hey, no, your opinion isn't the same as mine. Now, that doesn't mean I need to take up arms against you. It
Yep.
means that we need to have a conversation to actually understand where you're coming from. Where are you getting this information? How have you deduced this opinion? And we're losing that art of conversation of, because we've become headliners, we're losing that art of really for ourselves. We have never, ever in the history of time had so much information at our
Yeah.
fingertips.
It's
You know,
true.
Google, da 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 da, Siri, da 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 da. We can do this anytime and get information. We are not information starved,
No.
but we are starving for the right information.
There's a there's you know there's a there's also the other side of it, which is the overload.
Yes.
So what's you know what I've been reading about, especially in lots of different science journals, they've said the same thing, which is, you know, in the past where we would have to go to the library and read a book and stuff. And what that is, there's a manual process to
Yeah.
basically taking that information. You retain it. You
Yeah.
retain that information because you're ret it's much less information for one, for a start. When you're revising for your information, it's staying in some part of your brain. Now, when you're just scrolling through Wikipedia every 2 seconds, you're
Yeah.
not getting your that's not going to stay.
Now,
That's
again, the
just going to
headliners, that's all that's
the
going to stay
headliners.
there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's a lot to blame for that. You know, we had the shift in technology, shift in the internet age, and very quickly that internet age kind of got faster and faster to the point that, you know, phones became way more like distracting. And so social media, of course, you know all about it in terms of that is their whole point, which is they
Yeah.
want you to stay there and they want to distract you as much as possible, but it's created a lot of brain sort of changes, neural
Wow.
pathways have changed. You
Yes.
cannot concentrate
No.
anymore.
No.
So hence headlines is just the only
Yeah.
way you can consume it.
Yeah.
So it's this is like a very, very big biological process that's just happened.
Yes.
It is in a form of evolution, but I've talked to people and they've said there is a way of changing it back.
There
You
is
can go
it's
back.
the A, the responsibility of the people putting out the news, and but B, also our responsibility of what we're consuming. We
Yes.
it's like your likes. You may have 5,000, 10,000, 10 million, but does that mean you have 10 million people engaged? I rather have five good people engaged than 500 people following me, and I don't even know who they are. Or
No.
we like each other now and again on the post, and that's it. Engagement is something I feel that we're missing, and
Yes.
that is, part of where the power of knowledge is
Yeah.
engaging, willing to have a conversation that is diverse, that comes
Yeah.
from different perspectives, to get a more whole picture. Before
Yeah.
we pass judgment, well, before we kind of say we know it all, right? Because we are so quick to judge. And that comes from, well, this is my opinion. And we're
Yes.
presenting it that that's the only opinion that matters. Maybe to you, unless you're willing to be open to other people's opinions. But everybody's opinion matters. And
Yeah.
we must be courteous. And in being open to listen to other people, because they're seeing it from a point of view that you're not, and maybe it's something that is very insightful for you, very
Yeah.
beneficial to you. So
Absolutely.
we've got to be able to get back to being engaged and having a conversation that's diverse and different opinions. And why have you come across that? Why do you think that without the persecution behind it?
And that's what social media has created, which is a binary. You
Yes.
create bandwagons because
Oh.
basically it's such an easy way to create a mob. basically, if you say you don't agree with something, suddenly that means you are the enemy of that thought. And it's like, no, there is a spectrum of thought. There's always a spectrum of thought. And we don't have that face-to-face kind of understanding of cues, social cues, gestures, body language, which makes up
Tone of voice.
90%. Right, it's 90% of communication is like seeing someone. So it's really interesting to suddenly see this just breakdown, essentially, of debate. It's so bizarre.
It is, and but also, as you said, the younger people, I mean, the very, very young people, they seem to have been born with a phone in their hand, and and they kind of ride into that thing, and basically, all they're getting is the headliners right now. But your millennials and maybe even some of your GX are like, well, this isn't enough, or I'm tired of the naysaying, I'm tired of the negativity, just give me a solution, or at least listen to my point of view of what the solution is. And so you're seeing them switch off a great deal. And we've got to remember social media is an algorithm.
It is.
So what you put out is what they're going to give you more of. So if
That's
you're
it.
feeding the positive and the solutioners, then you're building a community of more like-minded people that you can converse and engage with. Don't respond to the negative, or if people are really truly negative and that's the bandwagon they want to be on, don't feel afraid to delete them. It's not what you want in your tribe. So look for your tribe and look for a way of conversing with each other.
But in a way, that also creates the binary because the algorithm creates essentially a perfect version of the world that you want to see. You never have arguments, you never have debate, and you need that kind of confrontation
We
to kind of keep that balance.
oh wait, look, is it confrontation, or is it, that's where the problem is. It's become confrontation. It's
Yes, it's
become,
become confrontation, but you should be able to just have a chat,
yes,
essentially,
you should
with someone from somewhere
communication,
else.
communication, as it, what were the debates about? Somebody, my son-in-law and my girlfriend's daughter and her boyfriend at the time, we were playing a game, and they were having a debate, and two of them both, brilliant people at doing this, and it was about whether to wear socks with sandals or not, and one was defending it, the other one was attacking it. It was hilarious. We were on the floor crying with laughter because their debate and their argument around it was just so funny. But also, we've forgotten how creative a debate could be. So I would say, kind of put the word debate in there rather than confrontation, because confrontation is what's really happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what's yeah, that's correct. It is debate because you think of those, I'm like, of course, there's so many flaws to when you think of like the Greeks and the Romans and stuff. But, the idea of debate and things that all originated with people like Socrates and philosophical thought came from those arenas. And I feel like we are missing out by not sort of essentially being critical. And being critically minded of everything that we look at. So,
Discerning.
discerning, exactly. So it's just really interesting how the world has changed so much. Even in my lifetime, it's changed so
Oh
much.
God, and just in the last few years, even of doing these podcasts, when I started out nearly 11 years ago, podcasts were still fairly new thing. And
Really new.
it was I mean, even when I was asked to do a podcast, what's that? I didn't know. It's and it's evolved, like everybody has one now, right? So whether they should or not, everybody has one now. But they've also, it's again, let's take this platform like journalism and podcasting. There's a responsibility behind what you put out there. Now, we want to
Oh,
get people engaged. We want to kind of incite conversation. We want to encourage debate. But we also want to draw the line of we don't want it to be confrontational.
no, 100%.
Now, have you found being the journalist now, as opposed to 7 years ago, that now you've got to be so much more mindful of the words or the tone that you use to make sure that it doesn't trigger anything, because people are so easily triggered nowadays.
Absolutely. Like, I've had incidents even recently where I'm just like, okay, maybe this language needs a little bit of changing just so that it isn't so triggering. Because the thing is that I think that's the beauty of just humanity in that sense, that basically we are always evolving. And, things like language is always evolving. So, a lot of people say, oh, it's that's just like woke or snowflakey, but actually no, it's just because language always evolves. It has for centuries. You
It
there are
has.
certain,
Yes. We
it
used to
always
be
has.
Now we
Exactly.
can use words.
Exactly, which means that also the meaning changes behind certain words and stuff. And as journalists, as professionals kind of putting things out into the world, into the public sphere, we have a responsibility to make sure we are keeping up with the times, essentially. Because yeah, we do not want to be offending or putting anyone into a position where they feel uncomfortable or just discriminated against. And that's unfortunately has been the case, in the past. And we're living through a real crisis now. Real crisis in terms of things like cost of living, migrant crisis, energy crisis. So we have to be extremely mindful of the language we are using, especially now, because people are re really suffering.
Yeah, you've got to be very discerning, right, on the words that are used, and the that it cannot be misconstrued.
Yes,
Because there are
absolutely.
people that are looking just to find that so they can, jump on it. But
Dump on it, yeah.
in 2010, there was a wonderful show that came out called The Newsroom. Did you ever see it?
Oh,
I
yes,
think it
I
was on
think I've heard of
Netflix.
it. Yeah. Oh, so it was on
Brilliant.
Netflix. Wow, gosh.
Yeah, and I think it might still be there. If it is, highly recommended. They did three seasons of it. And basically, it's this news reporter who is basically kind of nuzzled in what he can say, a muzzle. So he's talking about how the news now has become that the sponsors are kind of dictating what it is. The politicians are dictating what it is, and that you can't really represent what really is going on out there, and how it was slowly breaking down.
Yeah.
And looking at it was just so well written and so well presented. And of course, there's human stories behind it as well. But it did three seasons. I wish it had done longer. But I've had people on my show that are saying that, who are writers or who are people who are not necessarily journalists, but they're saying that now everything is being geared to kind of a grade three intellect. And not inviting people to rise higher. And it's like, I'm always in the belief that we need to enrich ourselves and raise our vibration.
Yeah.
To that is an invitation for other people who are rising up to want to rise up to. But we seem to have come down with that energy, and we're dumbing people down rather than encouraging them to want to learn more.
We're on this really strange tightrope at the moment where basically in the past you have certain media organizations who are seen as really establishment. And they've basically have created they've been they've made themselves look inaccessible by being over intellectual. And so the other side of that is that they've completely dumbed the other organizations have dumbed down to try and balance that out.
Well,
I'm a
it's
big
a complete out of balance, isn't
complete
it?
out of balance. So, the way I believe what I believe is that to make really difficult information accessible to everyone, that is really important. And not just putting a spin on things, but actually producing data material saying this is what it is and this is what it means is really useful instead of being like, oh, this is, I'm just going to intellectualize all of this and not actually, kind of break it down in terms of what it means. So it's like trying to find a happy medium between the two sides, because it is a real problem. We've had the two extremes, and
Yes.
no one likes either of these
No, there's
sides.
no
So
happy medium, right?
no.
Because we want people. Inspiration begets invitation. So when you write an inspirational piece, you're inviting people to participate, even if it's a conversation with friends, or it is an invitation for them want to delve more into the subject. That's what it's about. It's to engage your mind into not just, oh, okay, but really, tell me more.
Tell me
What can I
more.
do with this information? Right?
Absolutely.
Or my perspective has changed now. I didn't know that. That's where the engagement is. So it's not just writing to read and forget. It's to writing to read to inspire that invites people to be proactive with it, even if it's just in a conversation. So, and
Absolutely.
that's, I feel, is one of the problems is we're not having the right conversations. Again, steered very much by social media. And over here in North America, Fox News, and I'm sure over in the UK you've got an equivalent. It's all about the sensation, and they don't backtrack any facts whatsoever.
Fox
They,
News is an entertainment company. Just remember that,
yes,
everyone.
right, yes, it's like a tabloid, right,
It
on
is.
steroids.
On
And
steroids.
and the thing is, they don't fact check anything. And I get publicists sending me people, and there'll be a big headline. And I look at, I don't really don't want to go there, but I'll
No.
read the person, the content of it, and I go, this person, it's got nothing to do with the headline, but the publisher thinks that that's the way the hook is. And I'll even say to them, look, this headline was presented. I don't want to go there. Nor do I.
No, it's
And
really
again,
strange.
it is strange, but it's again, we there is enough, our senses are on overload right now. We're dealing, as you said, with energy crisis, with health crisis, with economic crisis, with mental crisis. We're dealing with so much at the present moment. We're in transition. We're evolving in our consciousness. We are growing into a different sphere of living, and it's turbulent right now. So we don't need any sensationalization. We need people that are calming, that can give us actually facts and tools and information that we can apply that can make this journey better.
This is it. This is it. And that's what we've noticed as well, is that people are more clued into the things that are like, oh, is that the case? Okay, I can see what I need to do, rather than, oh, I'm not going to name certain newspapers that have a lot of these kind of big tabloid headlines that always scaremonger and things like that. It's also that is now turning people off, because it's actually like, a certain demographic who will be looking at that, whilst the younger demographic are just like not into that anymore. And so it's
Keep your
you can
drama to
see,
yourself.
keep your drama to yourself. And so it's really interesting. So the things that we find like success on is just like understanding inflation. Like, what does that mean? How do I kind of make that work for me, sort of thing. And so it's really interesting to see what people are now engaging with. And we can see it from the data and things like that, but it's just really interesting. There's been a massive shift in terms of the type of content people are looking at. It's really interesting.
Well, they want to know, well, is this going to get better? What can I do about it? What effect does this have on my future? And I know that the UK right now, because I was meant to come over in March, and we've postponed it to September because you have so many strikes that I don't even know if I will actually have a train from the airport to
No.
get to anybody.
Honestly.
And everything is, and what I don't understand with all of these strikes, it kills your economy. And if you're, and your economy is already in trouble, and so that means more and more places are going to close because nobody can access them. More and more services are going to be lost, and especially medical. There is just so much repercussion from this that is anybody writing about? They want change, or they want more money, or they want more that. You can't have more money if it's not there, if you're not generating it. But what really is the root cause here? Because everybody talks about the surface and the impact, but where is the root cause, and how do you get to that root cause and start healing it from the root?
So basically, you have to essentially go backwards. So start reading
Deconstruct.
backwards,
Yeah.
deconstruct where it starts from, because the strikes have started from literally decades
Right.
ago of
Well,
like
when I lived there as
basically.
a youngster, I'm 68. You know,
Yeah,
Harold Wilson was a great one for striking every 5 minutes.
exactly. But it's not just about the strikes, it's about the level of inflation and the actual real wage that people have been receiving, which
Exactly.
is just not the
No.
case. And on top of that, we had COVID, we had the pandemic, we had Brexit. This
Yes.
is like decimated. It
Yes.
decimated the NHS, it decimated the schools, the
Yes.
teaching services, the rails. Everything is just kind of collapsing around us, depressingly. And but the thing is, it started a long time ago, and and the thing is the government have mismanaged funds so much
I know.
because they decentralized everything. So they devolved all the powers to local councils, and obviously they didn't have enough money, so assets started to be sold off. There wasn't enough to go around. And suddenly you can just see the crumbling of the system. We have no more council houses left. We have no more housing association houses left. Everything's been sold off. No more assets in the country. And then,
And
essentially
more and
just.
more homeless people.
And more and more homeless people, but lots and lots of developers, though. Lots
Right,
of developers,
For who? Who
for
can afford
whom?
them when you have no generation of income?
100%. Instead, we've got loads of empty buildings,
Right.
loads of luxury empty buildings, and
Yes.
lots of young people living at home with their parents.
Exactly.
It's going to
Yes.
be a total shift in demographic and shift in the way people are going to be living. In the past, young people were moving into the cities to get work, and essentially what happened was the care work at home suddenly just disappeared, because before you had a younger population who were taking care of the older population.
Right.
That has switched off completely.
Yes.
Now all these young people are moving back home. So now you've got an older population, a young population that doesn't have any work but will be doing more care work.
Right.
It's a total, like, suddenly we are going back generations.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm saying. It's really important to start looking back of where it started from. It's
Right.
not so simple to just be like, oh, look at all these people striking and why are they
Right.
doing that? This is like decades of like discontent. It's like so severe, and no funding for like
Well,
for years.
yeah. I mean, I remember, British medical was revered around the world. It was the best in the world.
It
And the
was.
last one, then they started privatizing. And then once they
Yes.
privatized it, it was all about the bottom line and the shortcuts, and the care
Yes.
went down the tubes.
That's
And
exactly it.
I've had doctors refer to English care now as third world,
It is.
in the
It's
care.
just horrific,
You know,
and you.
my brother had a heart attack last year, and
Oh,
my sister
no.
had a major operation. My sister had a life-threatening operation where she had a hernia right between her breast, and her previous doctor wouldn't do anything about it when it was small, because she has what we call sticky blood, so she could bleed. Eventually, she had to have it done because it had pushed her organs out in so many different places that she would die
Oh.
from it anyway. She had this massive operation where they had to kind of put all her organs back, et cetera, and remove this huge hernia, which was like a size double D breast, right?
Jesus.
And for 3 days, she's on a gurney in the hallway after the operation, right?
Oh my God.
My brother had a heart attack. He was with my sister at the time, so she got him into a good hospital. But he has kidney problems. And so nobody talks to each other. None of the specialists talk to each other.
No.
So the medication that the specialist here has him on and that one has him on, they are conflicting. Can you
Yeah.
talk to anybody? No. So now, in order just to see one doctor, just to get some clarification on the drugs and everything
Yeah.
that he's on, he's having to pay privatization of £350 for an hour. Right? And it's like, what happened to this brilliant medical system that used to be there? And that
Yeah.
everything has become about the accountants and the bottom dollar, but
That's right.
everybody's ended up poor because of it.
Yes, that's exactly it. Just imagine it as an incredibly sturdy building, and then suddenly someone starts creep turning it into a Jenga. model, and
Yes.
one person is taking one bit out, another
Yeah.
person taking another bit out, and that's what's happened
It's
to the NHS.
extremely wobbly right now.
Extremely wobbly right now,
Yeah.
because when you privatize bits and pieces of
Yes.
it, you create all these problems in terms of, as you say, communication gaps. It's a really big issue.
And
You have
massive.
massive. You also have problems with management
Right.
generally, because you don't know who is managing who, and and then you've got the
The departments don't
CQC.
talk to each other.
None of
No.
the departments talk to each other.
No.
I know that from
Yes.
firsthand experience of like multiple conditions, and no one talks to each other.
Right.
So, and it's infuriating and really devastating, because we as Brits love the NHS. It's such a fundamental part of the country, and for it to just sort of dissolve,
Disintegrate. Yeah.
which is what's happening in front
Yes.
of our eyes. And so a lot of people are very supportive of the nurses and the doctors, because they realize how severe it is, and the doctors are trying their best to say, we need more help to ensure that this building remains intact and we can keep it going. But right now, you
There's no
guys are like
support.
dismantling it
Yes.
right now, and we
Yeah.
cannot do our jobs. So I have a lot of like, that's my personal opinion. I
Yeah.
empathize a lot with them, and but obviously, this is coming at the cost of a lot of other things that are happening, i.e. people's care, people's day-to-day lives. But
Yes.
I think it's weird. There is just a lot of support, and I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year, or even in the middle of the year, there will be a general strike, because it's just gotten to that point where so many industries are just really struggling right now, and
Well,
it's
it
come
needs
to the
you've got a
point.
new PM, and I don't
Another
know
one.
another one. Yes, yeah, what
Yes.
she did she lasted 40 days or something, but
Yes.
the one before kind of reminded me of the dog Doodle, which is going back to
Yeah.
the 70s, and kind of quite eccentric. But the thing is this one. Because I know he's an immigrant, but I also know he's a millionaire. But from what I understand, he kind of came from nothing and built up. Does he understand? No? Okay. So
He came from money.
money. Okay.
He is surrounded by money. So
Right.
he is what you called one of the waves of immigration from the African continent, where they were quite wealthy. They are what you call the double, a double economic migrant. So they were successful in the African continent, so areas like Uganda, Kenya, but then obviously Idi Amin had took,
Yes.
with the dictatorship, like slaughtered thousands of people. And so they were suddenly economic migrants and refugees in this country, but they were successful again. So basically, Rishi Sunak comes from that level of sort of, wealth and privilege. So he cannot reflect a
Right.
lot of what a
It's
lot of
really
this
going on.
migrant experience.
Yes,
No,
right.
he doesn't
Right.
reflect that. And I have talked about this, and I wrote an article about this, because I was very much like, he is not. We shouldn't be celebrating this as a brown person going into
Right, exactly.
immigrant. It's
Yeah.
just not the same. His wife is one of the richest like women in the country, and
And of
his
course,
father and
rich people are going to protect their wealth
of course they
at
are.
any cost,
And just today there is allegations about the UK tax havens being used for Infosys, which is his father-in-law's company. So we cannot trust these
That's the
people to
trouble.
have,
Yeah.
people's back. And this is why the problem is journalism is lumped in with these institutions now.
Yes.
All institutions are kind of lumped together now as untrustworthy,
I
because
know.
they used to support one another. And
Right.
it's problematic, because if you don't trust your government, it's very unlikely you will also trust your free press if they are constantly supporting the
Right.
rhetoric.
And of course,
So
do you run into the problem, which we see on numerous kind of shows where you want to say this piece, but because it happens to be against somebody, powerful, again, muzzled, cannot say anything because, they may be the backer or the influence they have on the paper itself. This is kind of, and I said, watch the newsroom, please. I know as a journalist, you're going to love it, but it is that if we don't allow our press to speak to the truth of what's going on in fear of persecution, they're no longer living in a free world.
That's right.
And the free speech, the responsibility of the journalist is to make sure the facts are backed up, that they can
Yeah.
defend everything they're putting out there, and there's reference to everything they are putting out there as
Yes,
fact, right?
absolutely.
But are you restrained from being able to say things?
No, I'm like, thankfully, I'm not in that position where I'm restrained, you know, and I've been lucky in the sense that in the UK media, I haven't had to face that, which was a real kind of a breathing, like breathable moment, because I have been in a situation where I wasn't allowed, and that's when I used to work in China, and you cannot talk about anything. So it was difficult, even really basic things where I thought was just a basic human right, which is LGBTQ rights. No, God,
No there.
no. They have, like, when I used to live in Shanghai, there was a massive community. It was great. It was like their version of Soho in Shanghai. So I was talking about it. I went to visit it, and it's this wonderful kind of community, just a beautiful spirit. No, it doesn't exist. To them, it doesn't exist. And so there was so much I could not talk about in China. And then when I wanted to investigate prostitution in Beijing because it's illegal, but it's very much open, then there were absolutely like no way.
Well, it's all about saving face, isn't it? Right. You know,
That's
as long
right.
as the face looks, you know, we don't show what really goes on behind the scenes. Just
No.
saving face. Yeah.
That's it. So I think I've faced those two sort of extremes. So it was very much like, okay, I understand what a free press looks like in that respect. And I think it's really important because one thing that really inspires me as a journalist, especially, is to remember all those incredible, incredible things that have come out through the press. So I was so fortunate to be there, to be right there when the first of all, Edward Snowden revelations came out. So I got the video to put that out. I was there when the Jimmy Savile expose came out. So, you know, like I was with the reporter who broke the news, and it was just what a moment where I was just like, it's a horrific moment, but it's a moment where I can be proud to present
Be
that
proud,
news. And, you know, and there's been recent films out which I think people would really understand the true nature of journalism, which is She Said. Which is Jodi Kantor, Meghan Trainor, and it's about the expose into Harvey Weinstein,
All right.
and absolutely brilliant. And this is what I'm talking about. And this is the kind of stuff that just kind of keeps you inspired because you're just like, that's what journalism is about. And so I think I just hope people don't lose sight that there are people always fighting
Try,
for the
yes.
truth. You
And
know,
this is where
it's,
the younger
yeah.
people, as you said, is you know, we're just tired of the lies. We're tired of you hiding behind things.
Yeah.
You know, they're the people, that's the reason why, was it Bombshell, that
Yeah,
was written, right?
exactly. Yeah.
And you know, it's awful that we actually have to do these expose type movies or shows, right? But at the same time, it brings about the reality. I mean, misogyny, you know,
Yeah.
is so
Big.
unacceptable today because of the stories that have been out there, because of the brave people that were victimized, spoke up and stood up,
Yeah,
right? And
absolutely.
because somebody told their story and showed it as a reality. I'm from
Yeah.
that era of misogyny, and I went through it with business. I went through it, you know, this sexism all the time. I was victim of it quite a number of times, especially when I lived in South Africa, where it
Oh,
was
God.
really thick. And you know, I married an Oriental gentleman, so I ran into it there as well. So, you know, it's still alive, but we as women have become more empowered to what we will tolerate, and all that fact we won't keep quiet about it.
Absolutely.
So the
Yes.
changes are happening. People are standing up, and they just don't want this cloak and dagger behind the scenes anymore. They want to know, no, reveal, reveal.
Yeah.
Do I
Which
want to
is
be a part of it? Reveal, you know?
Which is why you need representation, you know, in these institutions. So, you know, women journalists, you know, people of color, you know, all sorts of people, so that they can take those stories and bring it to the light. So, you know, we had that massive case during COVID where Sarah Everard, that young woman who was murdered by the police officer, just going running or going home. Similarly, Sabina Nessa, who was another woman who, a young woman who equally just died like in a stranger attack. And so I think all these women suddenly came out and were just like, we are going to talk about this, and we are
Yes,
going to,
enough is enough.
enough is enough, we are going to report on this. And from there, lots of other things came out. Police misconduct is a big issue right now. And so, you know, it's, I think because now there's more representation, we are able to kind of bring those stories to light. You know, we there's still a lot more to do. There's no doubt. There's so much more to do, but
But
you
you
can
know, it's
see
chiseling away, isn't it? It's kind of
chiseling
chiseling
away.
away to reveal
That's
what's
it.
underneath the rock.
That's right.
You know, over here in North America, and I'm in Canada, but in America, in Canada, we still have our own issues. But in America, of course, a shooting is happening every
Oh,
5 minutes.
God. Horrific.
And we've had that recent killing
Oh,
of that young guy,
Jesus.
you know, who's just going home. And this time it wasn't white cops, it was black cops. But the difference
Oh.
is they were immediately suspended and arrested.
That's it.
Right?
That's
Now,
it.
in the past, I've done shows where the police have protected their own, the military have protected their own, the church has protected their
Right.
own, and no justice for the victim has ever happened. And but
No.
now they realize from the past, there is no way we can protect these cops.
No.
Right?
And
Not
you know,
after George, you know?
that's where social media has been incredibly helpful, because suddenly there is a platform to showcase these videos, these horrific videos. I think just a really random example was over the weekend was Nadeem Zohabi, who was obviously the chancellor. He was sacked because of his tax affairs, and it would not have happened if it wasn't from the pressure on social media, where they were just saying, absolutely not, you cannot keep this man in your government. And it's incredible. That's the flip side of social media.
That hasn't reached North America or America yet, because you still got somebody like Mr. Orange, who's trying to become president again, who blatantly lies, and his followers will believe anything he
I
says. He did
know.
a eulogy for somebody, I can't remember if it was a woman cop or somebody, and he talked all the time about how the election had been taken from him and how popular The Apprentice is and how popular he is. Nothing to do with the person that he was supposed to be honoring. You know, kind of claims to not even know the other woman who he has worked with, and there's evidence of that all the way through. And it's like, when you've got people who blindly la 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 worship somebody
Yeah,
who is a
it's problematic.
blatant liar over
Yes.
and over, and also incompetent, an imbecile, sorry, I said it, you know, and yet people will defend him. And I've had people on who voted for him, and I'll go, why? And it's basically protect their money. And it, you know, it's like, I didn't want to go down the confrontational way, but what about the human side of things? We kind of try to in another way, because I'm not about confrontation. I am about, let's talk about what it is and what we can do about it. And you could tell a couple of them were kind of uncomfortable trying to defend their choice, because they know that in protecting their money, many other people have suffered, right? So,
Absolutely.
you know, this is the thing, is where's the moral compass?
It's tricky, isn't it? It's where it's like, exactly. And this is a question I struggle with every day, because I don't necessarily understand that mentality at all. So it's tricky to try and like reconcile these kind of ideas that these people are human beings and they're making mistakes. And it's like, but how are they making mistakes? You know, they can see
How are
all
they so
these
blind to it?
facts. And it's a struggle, but I think it's weird. I think, and it's one of those things, it's like, okay, it's a case of, okay, we need to look back again. We need to look back at where this is originating from. And it is one of those cases where this is, Okay, but it's happened before. It's it, in history, it's happened many times where people have followed leaders who obviously have very different interests and
Yes.
maybe even oppositional interests to them.
Yes.
And so it's a case of just being brainwashed enough to be
Yes.
like, this person has my interest at heart,
Yeah.
and thinking that the alternative is the it will do absolute harm to you. Which is really, really interesting. And because the thing is in the US, like the Democrats have notoriously again been seen as establishment and
Right.
intellectuals, and
Yes.
they've in a way isolated communities with being in a certain way.
Too
And it's the same
hierarchy. Yeah.
again, we like we what the
Yeah.
conversation we had regarding certain
Yeah.
newspapers and things like that. Similarly, that's happened in the US, and as a result, they've completely pulled away from that level of like the media, they've pulled away from that kind of establishment, and they thought the opposite is my interest, but my enemy's enemy is my friend. And the problem is that they don't understand that's not the alternative either. They
No.
are also establishment, just in a different way.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's one of the things, because on the other side of it, you have the how to be, the entire platform on that is that I don't care who you are or where you come from or the struggles that you have in life, we all have to take ownership over who we are, what our choices are, and what we do with the things that happen to us. Because many things have negative things happen to them, like yourself, if you're with your disability, you have had many challenges just in surviving, and you've got daily challenges, but you choose not to be labeled as the disabled. But you are who you are, doing what you're doing, and you just happen to be a person who's differently abled, right?
Yeah.
But you're not your struggle, although your struggle is probably a great motivator, even for what you are doing. But we have to take ownership and accountability for our own thoughts, our own choices, our
Absolutely.
own reactions, and the people that are blindly following. Let's see, how did Hitler get into power? How did
This is
Stalin?
it.
How did
It's
Putin?
exactly
How
it.
did all of these people? Because people blindly bought into the codswallop, and
Yeah.
instead of going, hang on a second, does that sound right? And we know at some point we've got to stop being sheeple and
Yeah.
think for ourselves. In other words, stop
Yeah.
just reading the headline and look at the content and the context of that content and how it really does affect you. And
Yeah.
that requires people to be responsible for their
Responsible
own choices. And a lot of people don't
and
want that
critically
responsibility.
think. Yeah,
Yes.
and
Yes.
critically think. Because the thing is, as you said, people would prefer to be led by the nose. You
Yes.
know, there's a, you know, you can either, I think it's like they were saying, you can either, you know, beat them or join them.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's easier to just join them. And it's so much harder to critically think and be responsible for your own actions, even if that means going against other people around you.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what happens is this is how easily mob mentalities are
Yes.
created. And so it's hardly surprising you have all these red hat people
Yeah.
around, you know, where, you know, it's like in a way they feel. I think there was a lot of isolation before, and now they feel part of a community of some kind, even though it's very harmful
Yeah,
and
but
it,
you've
you
got
know,
people that join gangs, and it's just because they want to belong, and then all of a
they
sudden
just
they're
want to
having to kill
belong.
someone to prove something, and it's like, I didn't
Yeah.
want to go in that deep, but
No.
now there's no getting out.
You saw the riots. You saw the Capital
Yes,
Six, you know,
yes,
right, the
yes,
Capital January 6 riot. Unbelievable.
yes. And all it took was
Unbelievable.
one tweet from him, go home, and they all stopped and went home. He could have done that at any time. He sat there watching. Kill
It's,
Pence.
yeah, it's
Yeah.
scary. It's
And
scary
what's
that
scary
people.
is that the pussyfooting around the legalities of arresting him. Now, like virtually every person that was ever under him has been arrested and is in jail. But why isn't he? And I think one of the biggest fear is fear of what the mob will do.
I think people also underestimate how smart he's been about distancing himself from certain things, and so creating essentially buffers. in
So
all of
everybody
these
else
legal
goes down, but his
cases.
skittle stands, keeps standing. Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
It's quite surprising. So when you read through all of it, there's always like a buffer in
Yeah.
between like him and all of these different court cases that are going on.
Right.
And of
Well, it's,
course,
you know, it's
claims,
like,
allegations, etc. I'm putting
right.
all allegation claims, everything.
And they've all got
So.
to be proven that it was actually him and he put somebody else in his place. It's like a, you know, a drug lord or a cartel or anything else. They're not the ones actually doing the killing. They've got the tribe to do it for them. Hitler, Stalin, they didn't do it. They had all the people willing to do it because those are the psychopaths that they put behind around them, right?
Charles Manson is a very good example of that too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So get other people to do it by inciting them. And this is, I think, one of the things that they were trying with Trump is over the January 6th kerfuffle, is he incited. He incited and he encouraged. And there has to be some responsibility for that. Was he there? No. But he incited and he responsible. And the fact that it took one tweet to stop the whole thing and send everybody home shows how much power he had over them doing what they're doing. And
Yeah.
somewhere along the line, that's got to be a criminal offense and has to be held accountable. But I think
Yeah.
they're worried about the repercussions. Then you have like Kanye West,
Oh God.
who we know
Yeah.
has bipolar, but you know, I love
Yeah.
Hitler. You know, the irresponsibility of that
Oh,
is
unbelievable.
just,
Yeah.
you know, and again, I think has to be. There has to be accountability when you are, and with him, he's lost control anyway. But
Completely. I'm like that this is a person that's had a very public nervous breakdown
yes,
and should actually be institutionalized.
it definitely he needs mental help completely. And when it starts, all your followers who are blindly following you, and you say, "I love Hitler," and especially if you're talking to people that are already on that edge, you know, and now we're actually seeing massive amount of anti-Semitism going on,
Oh,
and
yeah.
attacks on Jewish people, and you know, and just it's enough is enough. Have you not learned anything from your history?
And unfortunately, that generation has pretty much almost entirely gone. So there's no one to remind us. And
Right.
we've got the baby boomers that came in afterwards who had all the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, all of our parents were baby boomers. So
Yes.
it's just like, and they're like, a lot of these baby boomers, and I don't want to generalize again because I'm talking about specific ones that, and because I've known loads of baby boomers who are
I'm
very
one.
against,
I'm one
yeah,
of the last
who's very,
generations
very
of baby
against.
boomers. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you know that from one side, there's one side that's very much like, oh, we have to remember, we must
Yes.
remember what
Yes.
happened. There's the other side who said, isn't war great?
Yeah.
Isn't our country wonderful and we must fight for our country?
Right.
We are patriots.
Right.
That's not
And
what
that the only
patriotism
way you can
is.
be a patriot is to take up arms. You know, I have another genre of our global veterans, and I interview a great deal many veterans, and none of them are pro-war. You know, they were there, maybe kind of sucked into it, or maybe, you know, defending. But when they came back, post-traumatic stress or
Oh God, it's
physicalities or whatever,
horrific.
it's just the support for who they are now. It's almost like, no, you're wounded. We don't want to know about you. And it's
That's
because
right.
of the few that have stood up and said, I am to be counted no matter what state I'm in. They've gone on to inspire and be supportive of other veterans, which has now trickled out to become supportive of most people going through post-traumatic stress because they knew what they needed. And so they
Yeah.
stepped up to create it. And the benefit of that is they had that mentality of structure, camaraderie, teamwork. And so when they do structure something, they structure something that works.
Yeah,
Right. So,
definitely.
but they're having to do it because they've been let down themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember when my daughter watched the movie 9/11,
Oh God.
and then
Yeah,
afterwards she said,
awful.
you know, like, why would anybody want to live in America? And who would vote for Bush again? And if people did, you know? So it's like none of it made sense. But again, people who look at the movie, which he based everything in fact, he was showing things as they were. No, that can't be true. That can't be true. Yet you will believe that.
Yeah,
Right?
it's
And
scary.
it is
It's
scary. And it's
scary.
like, there's the accountability, folks. and what you believe in. Are you buying into the headline sensationalism? Are you part of the tornado of mistruth? Where is your responsibility to look at the facts for the way they are?
But there's also a responsibility on these platforms as well, because basically, when you have a truth and then it's on top of like 50 different lies,
It gets lost.
it gets lost and you don't know what to believe anymore,
No.
because it is so, it becomes really subjective. And that's the term that most people will use. The truth is subjective, and is and that's problematic, because it's not, it really isn't subjective, it is what it is.
The trouble is that you've got so much manipulation where, what used to be a picture could say 1,000 words. Well, a picture can be doctored now. Even
Exactly.
a voice can be mimicked.
Even there was a Channel 4 program where they did a deep fake of the Queen, and it was so realistic that people actually complained, because it was like, how can they do that? It's so. And there's a show that's about to come on called, I think, Neighbors of Hell or Neighbors at War, which is a total deep fake of all these major stars. And I'm thinking there's going to be some kind of legal repercussion
Good, good. I
with
hope
this,
they get
given.
sued today out of their
Oh, it's
pants.
just unbelievable, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. It
Well, that's
means you can do
irresponsible,
anything.
and
It's
that's the thing. You're
irresponsible.
looking at it. Oh, this will make good news because who are you? What demographic are you going after? People who will buy anything without thinking, right? It's the same way of advertising. You've got your advertising, and when you're watching a show, as you get towards the end of it, it's more and more and more the advertising, and it's garbage, 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 garbage. And it's like it's kind of the brainwashing. Then people go out and
It
buy.
is.
And the same on social media, oh, you've got to have that, you've got to have that. Again, it's like, folks, please take a breath. Before you buy it, is it true? Take a breath and go, okay, this doesn't feel right. Be willing to investigate. Now, it is hard to tell from the truth to the facts because false facts are being put out there. And that's maybe what you're researching. But at the same time, go with your gut. Go with your gut. If your gut says, this just doesn't smell right, or I just don't feel that this is right, what's being presented, trust your gut. And you may be able to find something that can back that up, or maybe just sometimes completely trust your gut because we are being fed so much mistruth, we don't know what the truth is anymore.
No. And I think that's more the problem, because even when you trust your gut, it's a bit like, what if you're a conspiracy theorist, then your gut will be
Well,
telling you
yes.
something
Well,
very
that's that
different.
isn't trusting the gut. That is actually that is the indigestion that there's the feeling. The gut is actually your consciousness, right? Your conscious. When your consciousness says no, this can't be right or this is wrong. And I think one of the reasons we're seeing such a turbulence in the world right now is that we are rising up in our consciousness. And our consciousness is rising up to a higher frequency of love, self-love, love of people, love of planet, appreciation, gratitude, kindness, caring. And as we rise up into that consciousness, we wake up to the pain that we're inflicting upon each other in the world. And a lot of people are feeling that pain. And some people want to suppress it because it's too hard instead of working their way through it to become that love that now is the solution. And for anybody going through that conscious awakening, don't suppress. Go through it because when you're in that higher consciousness, that's where you can t discern the truth.
But also, but there's some great fact checking websites and things like that. Bellingcat is a really famous one. It's really useful. And Snopes is a really famous one as well. So, do look out for those actual fact checking websites. They do a lot of research and hard work to make sure you get, the right information and not misinformation. That is their literally their life. They created these organizations to ensure that doesn't happen. And it is a case of, sometimes you have to look at the hard truth. The truth is not going to be
Pretty.
roses. No, it's not. And sometimes you might have to face something really terrible about yourself that you realize. And That's okay, but you just need to be like, okay, I'm willing to face it and kind of think about it and confront it a bit and just be like, okay, I need to understand this better. So I think that's where people get very scared. And this is where, there's kind of a lot of sort of bigoted behavior comes. It's like nothing that happens to someone else is your problem. It does not affect you in any shape or form. So it's just like, so why are you so afraid of it? And I think that's really important.
I
It's just
think
like,
people are afraid of the snowball effect. If it can happen to them, surely it can happen to me, because we're seeing so much is happening to each other. And I think this is where it is inviting us to go back to being the village mentality, community, look out for each
look
other.
out for each other.
Yeah, stand up for each other, be there for each other, and don't go, well, no, it's not happening to me, la 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 la, I'm not seeing this. No, because the more we do that, the more we're encouraging what's wrong instead
Do
of coming together and standing up against it.
you, and do you remember in the during the Holocaust, there was a priest who wrote that really famous poem, which was like, first they came for the communists and I didn't say anything because I wasn't a communist, and then they go on and go on and go on until it was just him. And that is something everyone needs to be aware of, because
You're
it
next.
can be you. Anything that happens to anyone else is part of a humanity, can happen to you.
I had a post that I put out yesterday, which it comes up in my memory, and I repost it every time. And it was all about, kind of how Hitler got into power. It was happening to someone else. Or no, this isn't really happening. Or this is da, 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 until the next thing you know, oh my God, it's happened. Right. And it's like, we know that prevention is better than cure. And the thing is, it's stepping into our own humanity, caring for one another, being there for one another is the force of love and kindness and caring that will help you stand up and defend.
Yeah, absolutely. At any cost, it doesn't matter. Like, the moment you start dehumanizing anyone is the moment that you can do anything to them. And that's what's so scary. It's just like how easy it is to suddenly start calling people a group of people cockroaches, which is what's happened in Britain before, very recently. And it's just like, why are you going down this route where we've seen this happen before, we know how this ends.
Or
So
that
it's
it's
just,
okay to go down this route. Why isn't somebody nipping it in the bud before it gathers momentum? Why are
this
we
is it.
allowing it, you know?
Why was this platform for this person allowed in the first place? That's another,
Exactly.
and that's the scary thing, is all our boundaries have been pushed massively, especially in the last 15 years, where it's just like, where in the UK the Conservative Party used to be centre right, where the Labour Party was a left wing party, and it's all shifted. It's all shifted. It's just like things that someone would say 10 years ago was unheard of, and now it's just being said freely. So it's that's the problem, is all our
Again,
boundaries shifted.
accountability too, right? Is that again, when people are hiding behind social media, it's very easy for them to vomit out stuff, right? And we see so much, cyberbullying. I've done quite a
Oh,
number
it's
of shows on
awful.
cyberbullying, which is just deplorable. You haven't even got the guts to face someone,
Which is
and
why I,
cowardly.
I think every social media has a responsibility to use ID verification for every single person. No one should have a social media account without ID verification.
I agree, because you get, hacked all the time, and you've got people then acting as you. I get proposals all the time from people, and I look at their, and I never friend anyone without looking at their about or their Facebook. And you look at it, and it's one picture after the other of them, or something insignificant. There's nothing in the about. And so it is like, I can't verify you are who you are. Right? And I get the same script each time. Oh, I've looked at your face, and and I'm a widowed Christian,
No,
looking for
no,
a
no, no.
wife, and it's like, I'm an atheist, or I'm married, or I'm this, or I'm that. It's easier to get rid of them, but it's just like, how did they get in there in the first place? So yes, I agree that it's got to that point on social media that you should have identification, because it's like driving a vehicle. And it can be
100%.
extremely deadly if you're not
Yes.
being responsible. So I agree with that.
Absolutely.
And it's sad it's come up to that, because it was a
Yeah.
form of free, it's still a form of free speech, but at least they've got recourse to go after you,
Yeah,
right? You
this
know,
is
it's
it.
like if you have been, I've just had somebody who lost all 5,000 followers because she was hacked, and it was, you know, and it took her years to build that up, and she's having to start
God.
all over again. That's the second person I've known in the last little while, and it has happened to me in the past, and it shouldn't, that power shouldn't happen there, right?
No.
But it's the same thing with YouTube and Facebook and all of these, the algorithm deciding randomly, like they did with one of my shows, we don't support anti-COVID rant. And I thought, well, clearly you haven't read it or listened to it. Because if you'd read
Exactly.
it or listened to it, you know that there was no anti-COVID rant in there whatsoever. It was about taking responsibility ourselves, right? And being sensible and all of that. But it's not anybody who's listening to that and deciding, it's some sort of algorithm or random that they're
It
doing it,
is.
right?
It's
So,
algorithms like doing that, and because they manually can't do it. They
no.
just don't have enough people to do it. But
Right.
and it's so interesting that this conversation always ends up with social media responsibility
Yes.
about truth. It's
Yes.
sad. It's so sad, because it's just like, what has these companies, these big companies, done to the landscape of truth?
Yes. But also, I'm going back to us as individuals. What are we purchasing? What are we buying? Why are we so quick to buy all of this hysteria and lie? What does that say about us? Are we so busy chasing something on the exterior of life because we're not willing to go interior, into ourselves, and make connection from within? Because if we're not connected to our heart, soul, and spirit, then we are the ones that are lost. We're flapping out there in the wind and desperately trying to find validation out there where it's all lies within. But that means that you have got to take the journey, and people would rather go, la, 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 I don't want to take a journey. I'm just going to keep chasing something outside there, even though it makes me feel empty,
But there's a
non-validated.
platform, but there's a platform for emptiness now.
Yes,
So
there
in the
is.
past, you didn't have a choice.
No.
You either sit there by yourself and have to
Yes.
just deal with it, or you go out there and do it. Now there's a platform to basically put that vehicle, that is a vehicle for all your emptiness, and just have no real thought or feeling.
Yes. And that's I think people of apathy are worse than people of anger. Where anger,
100%.
you know, are people that are desperately
Hurt.
needing a hurt, and
A
we need to
hurt,
get to the
yeah.
hurt, and we need to heal them, because you know the anger can go to love with the right nurturing. But people of apathy, to
Oh,
switch
they can
their
do
conscience on,
anything.
yeah,
They can
I
do anything. They can
without a
burn the
conscience.
world, yeah.
Yes, no conscience about it whatsoever. It all goes back to that consciousness of your engagement, your participation, your interaction, what you are supporting, what you will not support, your accountability of self. I don't care who you are, where you are in the world, as a human being, you have that accountability.
Definitely. I do wonder if there's just now a ridiculous amount of sociopaths as a result of all of this.
Enormous amount of narcissism,
Yes, definitely.
definitely.
God.
But you know, all of that is screaming the inner vulnerability, screaming the insecurity of people that are constantly needing that validation from the outside, or needing to destroy someone else's life in order to feel
Yeah.
their life means something. These are lost souls, lost children, who need love and nurturing. But again, the willingness to go through the process of healing, you know,
This
to
is
that
it.
self-love. And that is part of what we're here for, is to take that journey. Because in stepping into our own self-love, we step into our own meaningful purpose. And then
Yeah.
we become the love we seek. We become that loving essence that it becomes illuminating for others. But
Yeah.
if you're not willing to take that journey, and you know, it's the pointing of the finger, it's government's fault, it's this one's fault, that one's fault, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Okay,
Yeah.
well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is that that's where knowledge is power, because
Yes.
self-knowledge is also hugely important in this, because it's true. Knowledge about everything is important, but knowledge about yourself is even more important because at the end of the day, you're making those decisions. You're taking responsibility for the actions you're putting out in the world.
Yes.
So hence, self-awareness, self-knowledge is important.
Before you buy the outside knowledge, what's the inside knowledge?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you can say all these things, but then if you don't know yourself, then it's just an empty vessel.
But it's also, why am I so quick to buy the headlines? Why am I so quick to respond to that? Or react to that?
React, yeah, for sure.
Because responding is you actually responding with something you've listened to and paid attention to, but the reaction is
That's a
that
trigger.
it's a trigger and you're
Yeah.
reacting. And why am I shouting at the screen? Or why am I so quick to get on the bandwagon of hate here? What does that say
Yeah.
about me?
Yeah,
What's lacking in my
exactly.
own life that I will so freely get on that bandwagon?
Yeah, exactly. Why is it so hard for you to see someone else's despair? Is a
Yes.
really good one. Like, just to really
Compassion.
understand compassion. Like, is it too much? What is it that is? But then question it. Ask yourself these
Yes.
questions. That's the
Yes.
thing. It's like, I think people
Be your
just
own
would.
reporter.
Exactly. I think people really struggle with that,
Yeah,
isn't it?
they
When they
do.
watch those charity adverts and things like that, and they just do not want to see it. And it's
Right.
like, but why? Why?
Right.
Why is it so hard for you?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If I don't see it, I don't have to be responsible for it, then I don't have to feel guilty. Right, and it's
Yeah.
like, well, it's we can't, I have friends and a relative that is like, it's just everything out there. I just want to be a solution to everything. And I said, you can't be. What you have to do is find something that really is meaningful to you, and
Yeah.
that is where you want to put your energy of change, and that is your platform. And somebody else
Yes.
finds another platform. We don't all have to be on the same platform.
No.
We can't take all the platforms because it will drown us. So,
Yeah.
put your passion, your compassion, and your conviction behind something that you feel you can have an impact on changing,
Yeah.
starting with yourself.
Definitely, because it's so easy to start feeling helpless and then apathetic. It's
Yes.
just like, okay, before you get to that stage, find a vehicle to
Yeah.
actually start helping other people. The best to, I think best medicine is always like start understanding how to help other people.
And in doing that, you realize how much you're helping yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So, if you don't know where to start, go and share your heart with someone else and it will ignite your heart for yourself.
Yeah.
It's just don't sit there waiting for someone else to do it for you because that doesn't
No, no,
happen.
no. No
Now, tell
way.
us about how to be 247.com and also all the podcasts that you're doing. And I know right now you've got lots of lovely newsletters going out and people that you're gathering. So other than just being a journalist, you've also got this other platform. So let's tell people about that.
Well, it's a bit about all the conversations we've just had. It's about, yeah, really understanding what's happening around us and internally as well through books, though.
Yes.
So it's just because there are literally millions of
Yes.
books out there. So it's trying to find some certain books that can basically just give you a little bit of information about that given subject, just so that you have some idea of where to start having that conversation, because it
Yes.
is conversation
Yeah.
starters. So, this is what How to Be Books podcast is all about, which is, having conversations with authors, talking about their nonfiction books, but also having conversations with strangers as well, which is, so every episode we have an interview with an author, and we in like basically review two books per episode, so we get a bit of variety. We think about intersectionalism, which is also really important because everyone's identities are so mishmashed. There's so many that it's good to have a bit of a mix. But then we give a chance to the wider community to give out 1 minute kind of ideas of like what they think about the subject. And it's so varied, and every answer is right. There is
Yes.
no wrong answers,
Just a different perspective.
just different perspective. And that's it. That's all we're trying to do is start a conversation about some difficult subjects. So political identity, those those terms like wokeism, you know, is there something wrong with that? Is it okay to say that? Is it, you know, and it's things like that. And then also just the internal things, like how do I deal with a nervous system? You know, is that through trauma? Is that through different aspects? How do I sort of deal with that on a day-to-day basis? So really kind of varied life subjects. And that's the importance of doing that through books, really.
And books, you know, as they are a wonderful gift. They keep on giving after you've read them. You know, they're all about they're all about actually, you know, a wonderful story, but there's always going to be something in there that will ignite something inside of you, that inspiration, that connection, that relatability, and that sets you off thinking, or it sets you off inquiring, or sets you off down that, and, you know, and it stays with you afterwards. And it's one of those things that kind of helps you navigate through your own life, through somebody else's story.
Definitely.
And I think that's really, really important. I've just written my memoir, and it's I'm in that editing stage right now, and it was quite daunting to write it. And then kind of in reading it back through the editing, of seeing kind of a thread of things that I didn't know was there, right? And it's you know, in discovering myself through the writing, because I just wrote and, you know, let it come out. And I think that's, I do an awful lot of interviews of authors and their stories. And it is about how, who they've become, and always very different to who they thought they were. But because they're willing to take the journey and go through the process, and who they are today is always so much more awesome than they have actually, you know, thought they would be. But it's the journey process, and we learn through other people's stories, we learn through other people's processes, because it becomes something that inspires us and invites us to want to take that journey ourselves. So I love the fact that you're doing this and then conversing with the authors and then inviting other people for their perspective, because that's also what an author needs. What do you think about it? Has it sparked a thought process inside of you, right? Because very often an author doesn't get any feedback, and that feedback is like, am I on the right track? Was anybody even interested? So it is important. So so people can get hold of that, the podcast and the site that is, can you give all that information, Lev?
Yeah, sure. It's so I'm at howtobe247.com, and then also on social media channels at howtobe247. So ironically, even though we've just talked about antisocial media, but I am on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then also the YouTube channel with all the interviews and book events that we're attending. So do check it out.
Right. And of course, if people want to read your work, then they can just go to The Guardian. Will you give that that link there?
Oh yeah, I'm actually, well, I'm no longer with The Guardian. I'm at National World, where I am deputy editor and head of audience there. So it's nationalworld.com, and then you can find me on there, writing my bits and pieces.
And you know, listen to the podcast, reach out and have a chat with her, and read some of the books. I mean, this is your platform, you know. Journalism is you kind of navigating people back to let's get real, right? To the facts there. But the, you know, the books are a way again of engaging people with themselves, with each other, forming that conversation. And everything that you're doing is to spark that engagement, spark that conversation, the ability to listen, to learn, and apply.
Yes.
Right? So,
and talk to one another.
To one another. What a concept.
I know.
Right? You know, it's like, and again, stop headlining. Stop buying the headlines. Please look at the content. Look at the context of the content. You know, before you judge at every word, be open and ready to receive. Digest it before you want to dissect it.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. God. Oh, gosh.
Been wonderful having you back here again. We cannot leave it so long. You've got to come
I
back
know.
again
I'm
soon.
sorry.
That's
I'm so
okay.
sorry.
Little bit of things like couple of COVIDs just got in the
Oh,
way
God.
then, a change of direction, but that's okay. We will make sure that you're back again this year.
Thank you.
I love the work that you're doing. I love the conversations with you always. And I think we have given people, food for thought today, because even if it's made somebody just be more mindful of what they're posting or how they're reacting to the posting or what they
Yes.
can learn from each other's posting.
Yes,
My
definitely.
platforms are Facebook and LinkedIn because you actually can have a dialogue.
Yeah.
Right?
I've actually just joined Mastodon as well,
Oh, I
and
don't know that one.
that's the Twitter equivalent, and it's the place where people actually talk to each other, and
Ah,
it's like
I have to look
such
that
a
up.
pleasure,
Yes.
such a pleasure.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's not about the sensationalism or the headlining, although I do that. I put up a picture or whatever, but it's always to spark thought. It's always to have
Yes.
people think about something, ask themselves a question, and invite them to respond to it. Because, again, it's not about to criticize people or to shoot them down. It's to open up to other people's perspectives so that we can learn,
Yes,
right?
definitely.
Be willing to keep learning. Doesn't matter what your age is or where you're from or what you're doing, be
No.
willing to keep learning.
Always, always so important,
Yeah.
because that's what humans are for, to learn.
Exactly.
That's
To
our
the day
ability.
you die.
Till the day you die.
Yes.
Animals can't do it, so we should.
Well, the animals do it. But the beautiful gift of animals is that they're so instinctual in the moment
Yeah.
that what they need to know in the now is in that moment, right?
We overthink things
Oh,
so
yeah,
much.
exactly. And then this is why I think being present with self, like you've heard something, you've read something, you've digested something, now sit presently with it.
Yeah,
Just sit with
definitely.
it. Let it soak in and then go, well, how do I feel about it before you
Yes.
react to it?
Oh, God, I know.
It's like
So
the old
bad.
email thing. Read it back before you press send.
Oh, dangerous,
Dangerous.
dangerous.
So I mean that's the same way in the social medias. It's truly read it, digest it, be present with it, and then
Yeah.
respond. And that's, I think, is actually the tip I'm sending out today. Pause before you react.
Yes,
Digest it. Is
definitely.
it something worth reacting to? Do you would like to respond in a different way? Your initial light reaction might be, oh! And then it's
Yeah.
take that breath, be centered. Where is this really coming from? How do you want to respond that isn't going to incite the fires that may dampen the fires?
Yeah, definitely. There is always a trigger there
Yeah.
for a reason, so just look into it.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, been a delight, as
You too.
always. And we'll have you back on again. Please, folks, go back and listen to the other shows you did with me. Again, very intriguing. We didn't talk journalism so much. We talked about very much the how to be and her journey with her health and the challenges that she's had and the fact that she is not a health. Her health is just one of the challenges in her life. And it helps you see things differently, but it helps you live in more gratitude. And you look to what you are able to do because we all have a disability of some kind, right? Of
Yeah.
some kind. And it's like, don't harp on about what you can't do, feed what you can do, right?
Yeah, and we are all differently abled.
Definitely abled. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, compare and compete is so damning to your psyche.
Oh, God.
And please don't compare yourself. Don't compete. There's only you in the world. Just nurture and love you and be the essence of who you are and what you're here to do. And let everybody else worry about what they are meant to be.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Thank you so much, Han. And until next time, folks, please read, listen before you respond. Really look at the content. What does it mean? If you're questioning whether this is fact or not, go into the fact platforms and have a look for yourself. But please don't just buy the headlines and then judge from there. Go deeper in your own lives, in everything that you do in life. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.